Thank you for joining Victory Center Church's Pastor Charlie today. We hope you're blessed from today's message. If you would like to know more about Victory Center, please go to victorycenter.org for more information. Enjoy the message. I know breakthrough is coming. By faith,
I see a miracle. Father, we once again thank you for the opportunity to teach your word that has the very life of God in it, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder. It's effective, it's operative, it's alive. And Father, may the word that is alive tonight quicken, make alive the hearers that are here and those that are online. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just a little quick reminder, remember our Easter service coming up. It'll be outdoors there where the property is, where we're building. And let's believe God that it'll be a better day than it was a year ago. Man, it was cold if you was out in it. And man, the musicians' fingers was the cold. I don't even think they could feel their guitar strings when we finished. I was reminded tonight, I'm going to share with you along the same line we shared with you a week ago. And Peter, in the second epistle, he made this statement. He said, I'm getting ready. Now, I'm not reading it exactly like he said it, but he said, I'm getting ready to make the transition from earth to heaven. And he said, I really think it's necessary that I put you in remembrance of those things that you have already heard, that you would be able to stand fast in the liberty that you've been called to and the things you have knowledge of. And so we're going to put you in remembrance of some of the things we shared with you last Wednesday night, unless you really have a brilliant mind in manifestation. You probably have forgotten some of the things that we shared with you last Wednesday night. And so we're going to put you in remembrance, and if you wasn't here, a lot of people catch up by listening online, and some don't. So either way, it will be good for me, and it will also be good for you. I would like for you to turn with me. Now, I've been making this statement along as we follow in our Wednesday night. These Wednesday night services have life-changing services if you pay attention. They've been life-changing, I mean, to bring you out of any situation you're in into victory. And we're putting you in remembrance. My purpose is that to give you tools that will sustain the victory that you won yesterday, and that you would be able to live in victory from, as the Bible says, from glory to glory or faith to faith. And so turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Now, there's always a contest going on, or there's always a contending for what God has made provision for you to walk in, or there's always a contending for there to be a manifestation of the inheritance that God has given us. There's a contending for it, for us to really be ours, where it does us really some life and good for us. And so we're going to touch along those lines tonight, but let's read one of our foundation scriptures, Mark chapter 11, and we'll pick up in verse 22. And this comes right after they've gone into Jerusalem. They were hungry, seeing a fig tree afar off. They went to it expecting to be fruit there that they would eat, quench their hunger. There wasn't. And Jesus basically says, no man's going to eat fruit of you hereafter. Disciples hearing that, never thought much about it, but went on into Jerusalem. And on their way back out, Peter noticed the fig tree that it didn't have fruit on it. It wasn't bearing any fruit at all. And so Peter says, hey, look, the tree you cursed is withered. And then Jesus says, have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. Now, the King James used the terminology, have faith in God. Now, if you're using a center reference Bible, it'll center it'll have the God kind of faith. Other translations will read that way. So he says, have faith like God has. Now, we have been reminding you quite a bit lately that we are in a different kingdom when we are born again. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light. Now, so we're in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of light. We're in another kingdom, and it really operates successfully by different principles than we are used to walking by. And that's why the Bible speaks of the importance of renewing our mind that we might know the purpose of the will of God and walk in the light of that. And so even in the Lord's prayers where we've really been making mention of when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, on earth as it is in heaven. So the purpose and the will of God is that his will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Now then, the plan and purpose of God for the believer or those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is to have health, life, peace, joy, and righteousness, to have all our needs met, no weapon formed against us would prosper, and that we would learn to walk in the God kind of love here on the earth or in the earth as God's love is being demonstrated in heaven. It would be demonstrated through you and I here on the earth, and we would just automatically walk in a lifestyle of forgiveness. When Jesus said, forgive 70 times 70 or 7 times 70, he's not talking about the law here, because you give 490 times, you're done. You don't have to forgive anymore. And he actually said in a day we used to forgive that much. It almost seems pretty impossible to me. But he said, learn to live and walk in a lifestyle of forgiveness. So that's kingdom living. Now, we're talking about kingdom living in a different aspect of it in our Wednesday night services. And we're talking about having the faith of God, learning the ways of God, and how kingdom laws and principles work here in the earth. Now, I talked about verse 22 of Mark chapter 11. Let's flow right into verse 23. Now, a lot of times I quote these next two verses of Scripture to you, but I'm going to take the time and read them to you tonight. For verily I say unto you, now if you're using a Bible tonight with a red letter edition, Jesus is speaking these words. So Jesus is giving us some kingdom principles that apply here in the earth where we and I are living. And he said, I'm saying something to you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt. Now, Matthew 21:21, we may turn there in a little bit, but it uses the word ifs. Get rid of the ifs. Mark says, in his account of it, in the Message, this is the Message Bible I referred to in Matthew and Mark. He said, just get rid of the ifs among believers, and anything's possible. But it words it a little differently here. Thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart or waver, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he what? Saith. Now, I've often wondered about the principle. The men here will understand this principle. Some women might, some not. Maybe some men might not. But a lot of engines, even today, have a governor on it. That'll only allow that engine to turn so many RPMs or go a certain mile per hour. Some are not. Engines are not governed, but a lot of them are. Have a governor. It forbids or keeps them from going too fast. Now, I always think of that when I think of Psalms 141, verse 3. David said, set a watch over my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Now, he's saying here in verse 23, once again, when we believe in our heart, what we say, what's going to happen to the mountain? It's going to be removed. Now, I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18, and then I'm going to come back to Mark 11, 23. Now, Proverbs chapter 18, starting in verse 20, talks about we're going to be satisfied with the fruit of our lips or our mouth. And then verse 21 says there is death and life. Now, both of them. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. Now, then our tongue in it has the power of death and what? Life. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now then, within our tongue is power of death and life. Now when I was reading and thinking on these two verses of Scripture today, I couldn't help but think of Deuteronomy chapter 30. And if you would like to turn there with me, but we're going to come back to Mark 11 and probably also Proverbs chapter 18. But turn with me, if you'd like to follow me in the Scripture, to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, Deuteronomy is written over a period of about 2 months. It is known as the Book of Remembering. I like to read the book of Deuteronomy. And it's really just accounts what is going on, what has happened on their journey, and where they're headed, and covers the transition, you know, of Joshua taking the place of Moses. Now, I'm going to begin reading to you in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'm going to begin reading to you in actually verse 11. And I'll read several verses of Scripture to you. Now, Paul quotes this passage of Scripture in the book of Romans, and I like to start at verse 6 in the book of Romans, and 6, 7, and 8, and into 10 actually. But we'll begin reading in verse 11 here, Deuteronomy chapter 30. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Now he's saying, I'm giving you some instruction, and it's not hidden from you. I would like to say that every time I minister or teach. I'm giving you instruction, and it's not hidden from you. See, he said, the entrance of his word gives or brings light in Psalms 119, 130. So the word of God, when it's taught, is going to bring light, and went on to say, understanding even to the simple or those that don't understand. Now, when that word entered us, Proverbs chapter 4, you remember? I know you can quote it, hopefully. You online, some of you told us in the comment box that you had memorized this passage of Scripture. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are what? Life unto those that find it, and medicine to their flesh. Actually, verse 23 then says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. How true that is. So the word is life, and it's light when it enters. And so he says, now, this commandment, what I'm talking about, it's not hid from you. I'm not hiding it someplace far in the heavens or across the sea. And he addresses that. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Now, Paul almost quotes it word for word in Romans 10. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? He said, this, what I'm talking about, he said, and telling you, is not hidden in the heavens. It's not across the sea. So don't look in the heavens for it. Don't look across the sea for it. But the word is where? It's very nigh. It's really close to you. It's in your mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Now, where is the law at that he's telling them? It's in their mouth and in their heart. And what we believe in our heart, we're going to speak out of our mouth. It's really hard to keep shut up what is in our heart. Jeremiah tried to be said, Lord, it's like fire burning on the inside. I just can't contain it any longer. It needs to vent. And then he goes on to say this. See, I have set before thee this day life and death, death and evil. Now, where's that law at? It's in the mouth. He said, I'm setting something before you. It's easy to follow if you understand it. See, evidently, like a lot of us today, we think it's hid from us. We don't understand this kingdom principle here in the earth. I've set it for thee. Verse 15, I'll read it again. See, I've set before thee this day life and good. Now what? And then death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Man, it's good to be blessed in the land that God has called us to. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Just turn to someone and audibly say, thank God I got a hearing ear. I denounce unto you, or I declare, or I pronounce unto you this day, that you shall surely perish. He said, if you don't follow kingdom principles, the end result is perish. That means to pass to an inferior condition. And that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, do what? Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now turn with me once again to Mark chapter 11, and we're going to read once again to you verse 23, Mark chapter 11. I know you know this, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, what's the next one? John, all right. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say. Now, whosoever shall what? Say. Now, what? I'm going to put you in remembrance, stir your mind up by putting you in remembrance. I shared with you what Peter said when he was getting ready to make the transition from earth to heaven. That's in 2 Peter chapter 1. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, it's not irksome for me. This is amplified for Paul in Philippians 3:1, it's not irksome or troublesome to put you in remembrance of what I've already taught you, but he says it's for your safety and welfare. Now then, whosoever, what does that mean to you? You don't need to answer me audibly, but I have, and as I share with you, written around the margin, I have just a little bit of margin in this particular Bible, some I don't, but I have anybody can, but everybody won't. Well, that's the sad part to me. Anybody can, but everybody won't. But somebody will. Now, you that are hearing me online and you that are here tonight, you need to be purposing in your heart, I'm going to be that somebody that does it. You need to be purposing that. Let me read further here now to you. Whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain. Not talk about it, how bad it is. But whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not deny his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith. Now, I shared with you, and I'm going to share this with you again, because it's really important. This word saith here, we just read to you, is the word lego in Greek. It means a course that we take. It means a journey that we begin. Or it would mean a building that we start and we keep building until the building is complete. It's a journey we begin and we stay on the journey until we reach our destination. Now, we would say it this way tonight. We begin a journey when things are less than favorable in our lives. There's giants facing us. There's obstacles facing us, mountains facing us. But we start our journey to overcome them, and we stay on it with it until we complete it. Now, this is what he's saying here. Which he saith shall come to pass. Come indicates a period of time. That's why it's a journey. Shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20, 21, but especially verse 21, says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm going to paraphrase it. Our tongue has two powers, death and life in it. Now, then our tongue has the power to speak death to God's provision that he has for us. Cause it to wither away. Never be a partaker of it. Or our tongue has the power to speak life to the provision that God has for it. Or I would say agree with what God has said. Now, let me just give you this simple example. I was going to use it Sunday, but I'll practice on you because I don't have my notes. Thomas Edison's teacher gave him a note to take home to his mother when he was in grade school. Thomas Edison came in and said, hey, Mom, teacher gave me a note to give to you. Would you read it to me? Because she said it was about me. His mother opened the note up and read it this way. Tears filled her eyes when she read the note to her son. Your teacher says you're a genius, that you have great capabilities, and this school really is not intelligent enough for you to be in. And you need, and your mother and father need to find a school of higher learning to put you in. End of the note. Years later, when his mother died, he was going through some things in her chest and found that note. And this is what the note said. Your son is incapable of learning. He is stupid. Don't send him back to school here. Now, Mom used the power of words. Told her son the opposite. Never let her son hear teacher's opinion about his learning. In his generation, he was the greatest inventor of inventions. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, when we think of the power that is in our tongue, we forget the faith principles. The confession message sometimes has been abused. It is not a self-serving message. But to quit teaching and preaching on some subject because someone has gone into error or too far in the ditch is also error itself. People need to hear the power that's in the tongue and the confession message. Now, I worded it like this a week ago. When we confess God's word, we're seeding heaven's clouds to rain on us with God's favor. Now, actually, the word confession in itself, King James will use the word profession a lot from the same Greek word. Hebrews 3:1, the latter part of that verse says, Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Hebrews 4:14 says, we're to hold fast to our confession. I like Hebrews chapter 10 probably the most, 23. Hold fast to our confession of faith, for he is faithful that has promised. Now, the word confession is made up of two words in the Greek, homo legeo. We all know what homo means just by itself. It means the same. Legeo means talk. And when you break it down, Lego is in there. It's a journey we begin. So it means we're going to talk like God talks when we look at it in the scriptures. We're going to have God talk, or we're going to talk like God talks. Now, I think if you are around children at all, they talk like the adults they're around. They talk like their father sometimes, which is a great plus, and sometimes it's not. I was around a young kid. It wasn't so young, probably 10, 11-ish, 12 in there, and he had a foul mouth as you'll ever hear. I just wanted to throttle him. But I didn't want to go to jail or get whipped by his broken home, so I would have got whipped by his dad. Might have got whipped by his mom. But we imitate. Now he's saying we're to imitate our Heavenly Father in our talk. It's a kingdom principle. And the phrase confession brings possession is truth. Either side of the spectrum. Either side. This is why we read to you in Deuteronomy 30. The principle said, God, do it this way. He said, it's not hid from you. But today, sometimes our mind is clouded by these truths that are kingdom principles that we're to live in by just not being taught and sometimes by people criticizing. Now, I shared this principle with you last Wednesday night. But a lot of problems exist in our lives by improper conversation or getting rubbed the wrong way and venting when things are going wrong. And what that does, it only strengthens or adds power to an existing problem. That's all it does. And then we shared with you that it would be a great thing if we didn't vent or talk the problem with anyone that couldn't be a part of the solution. That would cut down on a lot of conversation. When we talk a problem, we need to talk it with someone or someones that have wisdom and the power to be a part of the solution. Now, in relationship to words being powerful, and death and life are in the power of the tongue, there isn't a greater example than we have in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 in relationship to the children of Israel. Now, I'm not going to go there and teach you tonight from that passage of Scripture, but I would like for you to turn with me to Job. If you'd like to follow me in the Scriptures, Job chapter 22, and we will read verse 28 to you. Job chapter 22, verse 28. Now, I read the preceding verses more in the context of this passage last Wednesday night, and it talks about, really, Job, you need to get hooked up with God, and your righteousness is not greater than God's. And Job realized this later on. But right now, he wasn't quite aware of that. And this in verse 28, and it says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And thy light shall shine upon thy ways." Now, some translation will have worded like this: decree the decree, or declare the decree. Say it. That's what it was saying. Now, Young's basically, literal translation, basically reads the same here, but I'm going to read that to you. "And thou decreest a saying." You're going to decree what? A saying. "And it shall be established to thee." Now, when we understand the principle here, is what happens when we begin to decree what God has said about us. He said, "Let the weak say I am strong. He let the sick say I am healed." We begin to decree a principle from God's word, and this is saying it's going to be established, and the light of God will shine on our ways. Then we made mention of Psalms 119, 130 earlier. "The entrance of thy word brings light and understanding to the simple." Have you ever just kind of been meditating on something you didn't quite, "Oh, I see it. I see it. I understand it." Light came. Came in. Now, once again, Joel 3:10 said, "Let the weak say I am strong." Didn't say to let the weak talk about how weak they are. "I'm stronger, I'm stronger, I'm stronger." Now, the message in that, I just pull that phrase in. The message reads, "I'm a tough fighter, I'm a tough guy," in other words. NLT said, "Train weaklings to be warriors." Now, that's what the fivefold ministry is doing when they look in the mirror and then look at the people they're teaching. That's what you're doing when you spend time in the Word of God. Now, Matthew chapter 21:21, and then I want to give you an example. Now, Matthew chapter 21 talks about taking the ifs out, kind of a sister scripture to Mark 11, 23. And I'm going to read that to you from also the Message Bible, just briefly here. I'll get to 21:21 in just a moment. This is the way it reads in the King James. "And Jesus answered," I'll read verse 20 so you'll know it's talking about like almost in Mark. "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Now Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith. If you have faith. In other words, take the if out and he said, you got faith. But he put it, if you have faith. In other words, you may not have faith. If you have faith and doubt not, you should not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it's going to happen or it's going to be done. So we can't let the ifs, you know, keep us from walking in kingdom principles. See, I like the message here in this particular verse because it talks about what we've been talking about, kingdom principles, kingdom life. Now, if you embrace this kingdom life, now sometimes we don't embrace the kingdom life because we're so prone to follow after our senses. If you embrace this kingdom life and don't doubt God, now then, if we embrace kingdom life, we're not going to doubt God. Now, if we don't embrace kingdom life, we're going to doubt God. But if we embrace kingdom life, we're not going to doubt God. It talks about you're just not going to do minor feats, but you're going to do greater things. So it's really important that we embrace kingdom life. Now, Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, and Luke chapter 8, the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, both record the parable of the sower. And part of kingdom principles, it works like a seed. Now, this is where a lot of us stumble over a kingdom principle of working like seed because we want something, we want it now. But a seed is something that is planted, taken care of, and then will grow up and produce the harvest. First the root, the sprout, then the full corn on the ear. Now, I shared this story with you. This is from Norval Hayes Ministry. And I'm going to share it again to bring this truth home. This woman's name was Elaine Homer, actually. I'll not share all of it with you, but I'll share part of it with you because I want to share just a little bit of scripture. Now, before I start and give you the basics of the story, this woman applied this truth for 8 months every night for 2 hours walking around her dining room table before she even saw a slight improvement. Stayed with it for 12 months. 2 hours walking around her dining room table was 700 times a night. She stayed, actually wore the carpet out. Now what if I assess my life and then other people's life, I wonder, Lord, if I have given up too soon in some areas. Now, this woman stayed with it because there's death and life in the power of the tongue. She was in a meeting. She's a school teacher. Most school teachers are pretty educated. And she taught school there in Buffalo, New York. And she got cancer in basically all over her liver, four corners of her liver. When you're dying, sometimes you kind of deal with pride and you'll go to meetings you wouldn't normally go to. You don't care who knows, I went into that church or that meeting. She went into the meeting and then talked to the minister and you know, he was very plain and blunt with her, but still in love. And she said, I don't even like you. But she says, I know you're telling me the truth, and I want to live. And so she went back home and began to apply Mark 11, verse 23. And at the same time, aware of Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life is in the power of the tongue, or the tongue has power to give life or to give death. She walked around her living room table and said, Jesus, you're a liver maker. I thank you you're making me a new liver. Cancer, you can't stay in my body. Sickness and disease, you can't stay. Weakness, you can't stay. Jesus has redeemed me from sickness and disease. Cancer, I've told you, you can't stay. You got to go. Jesus is a liver maker. I've got a new liver. Just saying that and saying that and saying it. I'll live and I'll not die. Out of Psalms 118. 8 months later, she began to feel something a little different. And she stayed with it for another 2 months and was declared by the doctors cancer-free. Later, the minister was back in that area a couple years later holding a meeting, and this couple come up to him after he had finished an evening meeting and said, do you remember us? Now, they had been married 12 years and had never had a child and wanted a child. He had prayed for him that night when she's eat up with cancer that she'd have a child. 2 years later, during that process of time, she got healed and gave birth to a baby boy. Now, my question is, we read to you from Proverbs chapter 2, if you really want something, you're going to seek after it. If you don't want it, you're not going to seek after it. He said, you'll seek after such intensity as you're seeking after gold and silver. And then he said, you're going to find it if you have that kind of intensity or passion. You'll find it. Now, this woman is an example of someone not giving up. Now, when I look at that and I say, let's do something like that, and I use the phrase, some people maybe take offense at this phrase, but I don't. It's easier said than done. It's easy to talk about victory than rolling up your sleeve and start contending for the provision that God has already provided for you. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Now we've been sharing with you that this is a journey, and that's what the word talks about, a journey that we begin and we stay with it until we complete it. Now, in Matthew chapter 15, you'll find the same account in Mark chapter 7. This is the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus, and her daughter was demon-possessed. Just what we would say, driving her crazy. And I'm going to pick up in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 15. And behold, a woman of Canaan. Now, when we're really unfamiliar with the Gospels and the ministry of Jesus, this is a woman outside of Israel. That's hard for a lot of us to comprehend and understand. This is why it was such a significant thing in Acts chapter 10 for Peter to go to Cornelius' house. It was a Gentile. He started his message at Cornelius' house, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. They could not believe that a Gentile could come into the kingdom of God. Seems so foolish to us, but that's the way they believed. But when Peter went to Cornelius' house, it broke through that. Now here's a woman, what we would say, outside of a covenant with God. She's a Gentile, an outsider. Now she comes out of the coast of Canaan and cried unto him, saved. What's interesting here, this word is lego here, she uses. This is a journey that she's beginning. And the word is used as something you begin and stay with it until completion. You contend for your destiny. She's saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Now she's begun a journey. You've always got opposition if you're doing something for God or endeavoring to receive something from God. Jesus didn't even answer. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, this is so amazing to me. From the position that God has called me, she wasn't offended. I mean, she began a journey, and she was going to stay with it until it's complete. Now she has opportunity to throw in the towel and quit. But she's begun a journey. Just like Mark 11:23. What you believe in your heart and you say, is going to come to pass. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now we have a little what I was talking to you about in the beginning. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, again, the word here when you look it up is lego. He just basically said, I'm not even sent to you. But she said, worshipped him, saying, we cannot rule out the power of praise and worship. This changed her second approach just a little differently. She was on a journey to completion. But her second approach, she came with praise and worshiped him. Came and worshiped. Saying again, Lord, help me. She hadn't gotten off her journey, hadn't gotten off her course. But she worshipped, saying, Lego, that dress, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. In other words, he said, hey, you're really out of line here. Needs to go to some Israelite. And she said, it's truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Now she was taking what the Jews didn't want. Said, hey, give it to me. If they don't want it, I'll take it. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now this Syrophoenician woman begin a journey on behalf of her daughter. I want her whole. She had opportunity, and I'm not going to take the time because of time tonight to really dwell on them and teach on them, to just quit and go back home, be offended, go back home. But she had begin. This is what this word means. It's a journey you begin with the intent to complete it. Now, there is always a contending for the provision that God has made for you or given you. There's always a contending for it. That's why the Bible says faith is the victory that overcometh the world. There's always a contending for it. And part of that is the words we're saying out of our mouth. Now this Syrophoenician woman kept speaking life to the situation that looked like she wasn't going to get out. She kept speaking life to it. She didn't say, well, I thought it'd be your will. She knew that Jesus had the power to her daughter to be delivered. She wasn't passive. She knew Jesus was a deliverer. Now, just to kind of wrap this up a little bit and keep you in remembrance of some principles here. When you begin a journey, there's always going to be a contending for the provision God has for you. Now, if you keep pressing in, keep saying, I wanted to go to the principle is your mountain needs to hear your voice. But I don't have time tonight. Your sickness needs to hear your voice. And your sickness does not hear your voice agreeing with sickness. It needs to hear the voice of faith speaking to it. Your lack needs to hear your voice. Your bitterness needs to hear your voice. Easier way to say it, he says, your mountain or your Goliath needs to hear your voice. Hey, just get out of the way. Done messing with you. Tired of being bipolar. Just my mind, my emotions are stable. Need to hear that. Need to speak to your mountain. Your lack, your weakness, our inability needs to hear our voice. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the sick say, I'm healed. Stand with me. I wanted to go to the book of Jonah tonight, but we just don't really have the time. And declare from Job, declaring the decree or that mountain hearing your voice. And when you make a bold statement of faith, your boldness releases a bold response from heaven in a manifestation. When Jonah made that bold confession, 3 days, 3 nights in the whale's belly, probably dead, was resurrected. As Matthew says that Jonah's 3 days, 3 nights, heart of the soul, the son of man be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Well, I'm going to have to leave it because I'll take too much time. But then when he was bold, didn't observe the circumstances, the Bible said, God spoke to the fish, King James, and the fish went over to the shore and vomited him out. Jonah's boldness released a bold response from heaven, or Jonah's bold declaration or confession released a bold response from heaven. Now, Father, we just thank you for kingdom principles. Father, we don't want to live in just a self-serving way, but we want to see people walk free. We want to see them whole, spirit, soul, and body. And Father, we would declare again tonight that these people are mighty men and women of God. Unstoppable, unstoppable, unstoppable. They do exploits because Daniel said they that know their God would do exploits. They're doing exploits. Mountains are being cast into the sea. Mountains are being removed, becoming mere molehills. And they're walking out the plan and purpose of God in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are listening to Pastor Charlie from Victory Center Church. We hope you are blessed by today's message. If you would like more information, please go to victorycenter.org. Thanks and be blessed.